Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're going to be talking about in today's program Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in his interview about this Iran agreement that took place as an interview that took place on ABC News. And we're also going to be talking about homeschool. And Ron Paul is in an interview in a book that he wrote in a school that he started saying that the leaders of the future of America will come out of the homeschools. Join us in a few.
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, for the churches ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is coming on every form of media you can imagine to inform us all that this is bad news for the world. This deal that's been signed by the countries, the nations of the world who follow America's leadership in this thing is saying it's a bad deal for the world. If you missed our earlier program, you have to see that, because this is identical, even according to a New York assemblyman, in regards to, he said this is a 1938 moment where Chamberlain was signing an agreement with Hitler in Germany in regards to what he thought he could sign an agreement and prevent war. We're hearing choices right now that says there's only two choices. There's either war or there's a treaty. No, there was another choice they did away with, which is called sanctions, and they were working. Some reports are, as a matter of fact, we'll hopefully have that on the program for you today, from American Heritage, I believe, the Heritage Association, saying that over actually $300 or $400 billion now are going to be transferred potentially into the hands of Iranian government. Let's watch. This is Lester Holt interviewing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recently, just this morning, I believe, or last night, about what has taken place. And see this in the biblical perspective of understanding that Israel now is surrounded by all these nations, including America's military and things that are going on, how things are happening. He's being nice about it, but the reality is this small country, and I say this over and over again because we forget, that Israel's widest point, if the width of Israel is like 60, 70 miles wide. I mean, think about that. And all of this threat going on. I'm telling you, God's going to protect Israel. The question is, and when we stand in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and God's going to judge every nation based on what they did with the land of Israel, where do we stand? And we need to begin to encourage our legislators, encourage Israel, say we want to stand with Israel. Take a look now.
Mr. Prime Minister, I'd like to begin by asking you about your conversation with President Obama yesterday. Can you give us the essence of what you told him?
Well, you know, I respect President Obama, and we can respectfully disagree. I thought and I said that this deal poses a great danger to Israel. I believe it poses a great danger to America and the world. When you let the number one terrorist regime in the world have a sure path to the bomb and hundreds of billions of dollars with which to finance its terrorism around the world, that's not good for any of us.
Do you think that the relationship between Israel and the U.S. has been fractured? Do you feel the president has betrayed you on this issue?
No, look, I think we have a disagreement, and I appreciate the alliance with the United States, the support that we receive from the president, the Congress, and the American people, but we have a real disagreement. We think this is not merely a threat to us. We think it's a threat to you as well. You know, just 4 or 5 days ago, the so-called moderate president of Iran was at a rally in Tehran in which they burnt American flags, chanting death to America. Iran has killed more Americans than anyone other than Al-Qaeda. Iran is building intercontinental ballistic missiles, not to reach us, they already have those missiles, but to reach every part of the United States. And the supreme leader of Iran says, just the other day, he says the battle against the United States will continue even after the deal. You know, for them, we're the little Satan. You're the great Satan. And now I think they're being empowered to conduct that battle. And I think that this is bad for us, for you, and the world.
Are you going to continue to make that point to members of the U.S. Congress? Will you be lobbying Congress to reject this deal?
Look, I'm making that point to anyone who will listen. I'm making it to you now. And I have to tell you, it's not just my private point. I've just come from the Knesset. We had a session in which I and the opposition leader, the leader of the Labor Party, Isaac Herzog, expressed our disapproval, our opposition to this deal. This cuts across Israel. It's not a partisan issue in Israel. It shouldn't be a partisan issue in the United States. And let me tell you something else. It cuts across Arabs and Israelis in the Middle East. Most of the Arab leaders, whether privately or publicly, think that this is very dangerous to them too. And I would advise this. It doesn't happen very often in history, but when Arabs and Israelis agree, it's worth paying attention.
But those in Congress who call themselves friends of Israel, will you be making a special appeal to them?
I'm making a special appeal to everyone who is concerned with the future of our world, because I think that Iran is different. It is a zealot country. It's a country that is governed by a group that believes in militant Islamic fundamentalism. It has killed a lot of Americans. It's killing everybody in sight in the Middle East. It's in Yemen. It's around our borders. It's got a terror network that encompasses now 30 countries. It's curious that in this agreement, the head of this terrorist arm, some of the sanctions are removed from the head of the terrorist force that propels this terrorism around the world. I think this is a big mistake. And I think that Iran has here two paths to the bomb. One is if they keep the deal, and the other is if they cheat on the deal. They can cheat on the deal because the inspections are not instantaneous anywhere, anytime, as Foreign Minister of Iran Zarif said correctly. In fact, you don't have them inspections within 24 hours. You have 24 days before you can inspect any site that you find suspicious in Iran. 24 days. Can you imagine giving a drug dealer 24 days notice before you check the premises? That's a lot of time to flush a lot of meth down the toilet.
You've made it clear that Israel is not bound by this agreement. So what does that mean in practical terms? Do you reserve the right to attack unilaterally, to take some kind of military action?
Well, it means that when you have a regime that calls for our destruction, including in the last few days, that says they'll wipe Israel off the face of the earth, we'll take whatever measures are necessary to defend ourselves.
The president has stated that you don't want Iran to have any nuclear capabilities at all. His point is that involves eliminating the presence and knowledge of nuclear technology, and his argument is that's not going to happen. Does that make sense?
Look, I think there's a difference. You can have a pilot, but without a plane, he can't fly. And I think Iran has been left a plane, a big airplane with which to fly. And in 10 years, all the limitations on production of centrifuges will effectively disappear. They'll be able to produce a tremendous number of fissile material for an endless number of bombs. So I think that's very dangerous. I think a better deal is possible. I think the biting sanctions that were applied in 2012 have been effective. I think tougher sanctions, certainly maintaining these sanctions, would have forced Iran to choose. They had to choose basically between lifting the sanctions and truly rolling back their nuclear capability, and not for a temporary time, but forever. They were given both. Effectively, they were given both the relief of the sanctions, keeping their infrastructure, and allowing it to expand within a few years. They actually, the hardliners in Iran have scored a tremendous victory because they've been giving their yellow cake and eat it too. They can have it and eat it too.
Do you think the president is being naive? Based on the arguments you're making, do you believe he's being naive?
I think we have an honest disagreement. I think the question is really, what's the nature of this Iranian regime? And I thought that the right deal would have lifted the restrictions on Iran's nuclear program only if we saw a perceptible change in Iran's behavior. That's essentially what I said in my speech before the U.S. Congress. But in fact, there is no linkage to Iran's change of behavior. They can continue their regional aggression, their terrorism worldwide, their subversion in so many countries and so many lands. In fact, they're going to get hundreds of billions of dollars to fuel their terror and military machine. And they don't have to change anything. They're even going to get their arms embargo lifted within a few years. So in fact, there's been a kind of reverse linkage. Iran gets to maintain all its aggression and terror, and they get to basically an open open or rather unrestricted use of most of their nuclear infrastructure within about a decade. That's a mistake, and I think we simply disagree on this. But it's not only me. It's so many of the Arab leaders here. And Israel and the Arab countries, our fate is most directly affected by this deal. But so is your fate, because remember, Iran says our real goal, our real nemesis, our real enemy is the United States of America. And to give the preeminent terrorist regime of our time access to nuclear weapons down the line, access to the capacity to make a very large nuclear arsenal with zero breakout time in a few years, and money to finance terrorists today, I think that's a big, big mistake.
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu, I want to thank you very much for your time. It was good speaking with you, sir.
This is amazing. You hear what he's saying. He's talking specifically saying, you know, they're having their yellow cake, which is actually the material used to be able to make nuclear bombs and that type of thing. They've been given their yellow cake and they're able to eat it too. That's what he's saying, the prime minister. In other words, they're getting everything they want. He also said, Iran says, our real enemy is America. And we're seeing them, as we saw in a previous program, they're blowing up aircraft carriers, American mock-up aircraft carriers. They're saying, we want to be able to destroy America and destroy Israel. And our president, our leadership is partnering with the enemy of Israel and America, the one that's supposed to be protecting us. There's four things that the Heritage Foundation says that we need to know about this deal. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
President Obama announced he's finally gotten his long-sought-after nuclear agreement with Iran. Well, here at the Heritage Foundation, we think it's a very bad deal. And there are four reasons we think this will take us one step closer to nuclear war. First, the deal leaves Iran's nuclear infrastructure largely intact. We began negotiations saying we wanted inspections anytime, anywhere. We ended up agreeing to inspections sometimes, some places. We were willing to give up sanctions. Iran agreed to partially freeze its uranium enrichment programs. But research and development on its centrifuges and its ballistic missile program, well, that will continue. Number two, the sanctions relief could likely further destabilize the Middle East. It's been estimated that $300 to $400 billion will now flow into the Iranian economy. But that money isn't going to go into the pockets of the Iranian people. Much of it will go into the pockets of the Iranian regime. And that means a lot of money could be funneled to groups like Hezbollah, Hamas, and Shia insurgencies in places like Yemen. That will decrease our influence in the region, but it will further increase that of Iran's. Third, Iran's Arab neighbors and Turkey will now likely decide they need to begin uranium enrichment programs as well. That is only going to make a dangerous part of the world more unpredictable and more dangerous. And four, this deal is temporary. Eventually, the freeze on uranium will go away. All the while, Iran will have been doing its homework on how to eventually use that uranium to build a nuclear weapon. And that assumes that Iran waits. As we well know, Iran has been a country that's broken its word before, and specifically when it's come to holding up its bargain in nuclear agreements. This is a good deal for Iran. It is a bad deal for America and the rest of the world.
This is so important. That's the Heritage Foundation explaining four reasons why this is a bad deal. You know, I would say it's a shocker, but it's just, it's constant. We have to be diligent about this hour and this time. We got to ask, and it's like, Lord, why is our own leadership turning against, it appears, and partnering with the enemy of Israel and even the enemy of America? The narrative has been changed. Well, you're starting to hear people say, including our president, that there's only two choices. There's either go to war, you know you're tired of war, or there's this particular deal. But they took the other deal off the table. There is another one. It's called sanctions. It was working. The reports are, according to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and others, is that the sanctions were working. And that's why Iran wanted to come and negotiate at the table. And the sanctions means that they're holding back trade to Iran. They're not letting them trade their oil and that type of thing. And that's why there's, according to what Heritage Foundation just said, you know, $300 to $400 billion now are going to go into the state sponsor of terrorism organization, you know, who has a goal and has an enemy in their own mind called America and Israel. We got to pray for Israel. We got to pray for America. And we got to say, dear God, you know, help us. Help this thing turn around. God, change the minds of our leaders. And one thing we got to think about, we're going to talk about this after the break, where are our future leaders going to come from? Because presently, they're setting things up in society where we're going to tell you what you think. We're going to tell you how you operate. And some of it's called Common Core and some other things like that. But what Ron Paul was saying, former congressman, former legislator, he's saying that he believes that the leaders are going to come from homeschool. He said he wants to be able to begin to see 20% of Americans in homeschool, and he believes the leaders will come from there. And I think about this before we go to break. Remember this. When you go to Washington, D.C., you see this huge statue of President Lincoln, and this huge monument of the Lincoln Memorial. It's where Dr. Martin Luther King gave his speech. But you know how he got his education, his high school education, his school education, primary? At home. And look at that big, huge thing that we actually thank his leadership for in this country. We can do this thing. We can get back to our original intent if, in fact, we say, you know what, I'm going to partner in helping to raise my children and speaking in their life. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And can you move your arm now?
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some.
Hey, how you doing?
Amen. Now move it around.
Welcome back. You're wondering why in the world would we even talk about homeschool? We're talking about the next leaders. What happens is you're born and the extent of your ability to lead and communicate is feed me, change me, right? And then, you know, so, you know, we help them learn to speak, and obviously we're still challenged.
We do practice
and we are aware of it, and we appreciate you letting us know. And, but in that, you know, education is so important because that's where your leaders are going to come from. But I first want to say this. I know that it's so exciting when you see, you know, God begins to speak and you hear what he's saying. And then if God is speaking, I mean, many people can actually hear what he's saying. That's why we come together and say, amen, right?
That's right.
And on the, you know, we did a special on the, you know, George Washington and flying the flag, the appeal to heaven, you know, flag and all. And God did some powerful things because, you know, we just walked out what it meant to pray in sackcloth and asked God on July 23rd, you know, to prevent this disaster coming on July the 4th, which was being predicted across the board. And God did. As a matter of fact, on the 24th, and we had this program, you could see it, maybe they'll make it related for you, that they went, and the very man that was being used to on social media from Syria to stir up people to get them all enticed and to get involved in radical Islam and ISIS and all that, in America, that was their concern, that he's doing all this in America. Well, on July the 4th, they actually, he's the one that got removed off the face of the earth. America didn't get removed. And I thought, and God just heard that prayer, and he answered. God's answering so many prayers, and we got to really connect what he's doing and give him all the praise and the glory. So, I mean, I've been speaking to, you know, John, and John and I have been talking about that, that, you know, it really needs to have a appeal to heaven. Actually, this is what we love to do is, you know, one of our audience members to provide as many appeal to heaven flags as we can give out that our audience wants.
Yes. We've been talking about this for a while now.
For quite some time. And we wanted to put them up on the 4th of July because the last thing I believe prophetically that we want to hear, God wants to hear, is pride, you know, at that moment in time because we were just in sackcloth. And of course, at that time, there wasn't enough time to access those and those type of things. And to find out that a local pastor in the Pensacola area, you know, right after we had that broadcast, he came in, his pastor, Rick Curry, came in and talked to David.
Yes.
And about, hey, you got to get a flag up here, you know, this appeal to heaven flag. And it's like, wow.
That's exciting.
Isn't that cool?
That's very, very cool.
We didn't have to put it up.
Yeah. And 30 feet, whatever, in the sky. It's going to be huge.
And so we want to thank, you know, Pastor Rick Curry for hearing from the Lord on that. And that was our heart, too, and that's definitely David's heart. David Mayo is the manager of WHBR, Christian Television Network, and studios where VFN-TV studios are at. And we're excited about that. And hopefully this week, I understand, it's going to be flying.
Yes.
But not only that, we would love to see it flying over your cars, your houses, your business. Hey,
absolutely.
Your church. You know, why not fly it out over your church? Yeah.
We've been saying for you know, a while here that our only – you know, thing that we can do at this point is really cry out to heaven. You know, the answer is not in government. It's not in people. It's not in a person or elected official, but it's our cry to God. This is what George Washington did. This is the first flag he flew over seven of his ships.
Right.
Saying we need to cry out to God.
You're not going to win outside of God doing something or succeed. And of course, the flag I've had for quite some time in my, you know, for quite some time I've had it. And then even when we moved into our new studios, I had it hanging in my office. And but I'm excited about it being hung, you know, in front of VFN-TV WHBR studios. That's very good. That's
very
exciting.
Exciting.
We appreciate Pastor Rick Curry from
Kingsway
for doing that. And I just want to say thank you, you know, for that. Well, what does homeschool have to do with situations, what's happening in Israel, what's happening in the world, what's happening in the military, what's happening in the economy, because these decisions are being made by leaders. They're leaders. You know, whoever is going to be running for Congress, who's going to run for Senate, who's going to run for presidency, who's going to be the general, who's going to be the captain, these are leaders. And we're going to, we get back from this break, we're going to see, begin to talk and listen to, this is for all those people out there who have been thinking about it. And we're, you know, we stand up for We want to see a nation's discipled. And the way you do that is focus on seven spheres of a culture, and we call them seven mountains. And one of those mountains we have to focus on is education. What are we going to do with education? Because that's how we train up our next leader. So if you're interested in partnering, you know, with VFN TV, when we focus on that mountain meeting, education, we would love to have you come participate. You can go to VFNTV.com or go to civilchristianity.org and just sign that pledge, because that's who's going to walk together, mm-hmm. those that are in agreement. We have to be civil Christians in a civil land. It's called civilchristianity.org, and we'll get in contact with you. But when we come back from the break, we're going to hear this interview with Ron Paul, as he's talking about that he believes 20-25% of American children need to be raised in homeschool to be able to train future leaders. And that's what will happen. Mm. We've got to have patience and begin to do what adversarial people have done, is begin to change our education system. We got to put God back in and begin to do what's right. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
At a high school here in Maryland, over the public address system, encourage students to be part of a gay and lesbian, using those direct words on the public address system in a public school.
You said that the key word there, though, and that's coming through the student club. They probably have a what they call Gay Straight Alliance at the school. Those are allowed under the Constitution and under what's called the Equal Access Act. The same right that gives students the right to have a prayer meeting or a Bible study group meet gives the same right for these other students to have their events, and they're allowed to use the public address system for the announcements. Now, those are announcements that are made through the school's mechanism, but they are from the students, so that's what's called student-led and student-initiated, and that speech is protected. But now the Bible Club needs to be given equal rights and equal access, so it works both ways there.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
that's right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us.
Yeah.
So we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow. It has some hands around the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone. And when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to be talking about Ron Paul here. And Ron Paul has a book. It's called The School of Revolution. You can see it right now, I believe. There it is. And he's being interviewed by Glenn Beck about the future of our nation and how education is so important. Let's go right to this interview. This is Glenn Beck interviewing former Congressman, I believe, Ron Paul.
It's a school revolution.
School revolution, that's it.
We wanted to get you on because I homeschool, and we have several people on our staff that homeschool.
Right.
And I think it's like the university system. We will never fix our country if we are all put in the same box. We are not thinking creatively anymore. We're not thinking differently anymore. We're taught, stay in this box from cradle to grave.
And just think of the advancement of this notion that we should have a core curriculum to really make the big bucks and force it on everybody.
I know.
Instead of teaching or allowing kids to learn on their own and what they want to learn at the pace they want to do it and have it self-directed, have parents in charge, not the state. I mean, that's where the real problem is.
We highlight books of guests. And I don't think I've ever seen one highlighted with that many highlights. I've never seen anybody, any book that has come back to me, Glenn, you got to talk to him about these things, with that many highlights in it. The name of the book is The School Revolution. And how are we going to, what is, first give me the premise, and then how we get there.
Well, we have a broken system.
Yeah.
And we have to offer them something else. Now, homeschooling's been around for a while. In the 80s, we had to fight real hard to make sure they didn't close down all homeschooling, and that fight was here, occurred in Texas. But most people now, and it's not just conservative, there's people from the other side of the spectrum who realize that the system isn't working. Every single day you see the violence in school and kids getting out of school and they go to college and they have to be taught how to write again and spell again. They have to learn their English. So the system is very much broken. And I go over that on the history. But also, I want to have a curriculum that talks about the freedom philosophy and people thinking along these terms and have a different perspective on history, which you're very interested in, different perspective in history and economics, obviously, but also to change the atmosphere with the idea of getting young people prepared to either go to college or start their own business. And the easiest job is convincing people there's something seriously wrong with the system.
That's easy.
But unfortunately, you know, in Washington, you know, economics, things go bad, spend more money, put more money. And that's the way it is in education, too. They want to just spend more money on it.
The problem is, though, and I know this as a homeschooling dad, my wife feels the same way. It's terrifying because this whole society has taught you, you don't have a certificate. You're not smart enough. You can't do that. You no, let professionals. If I hear that one more time, let the professionals do it. Give me a break, man. Look what you've churned out. The system is churning out a bunch of people that cannot survive.
And homeschooling isn't like if I were required to homeschool. I happen not to have homeschooled. But let's say I was to homeschool in this day and age, and I've been through the sciences and medicine. But if I had to sit down and explain physics at this moment, you know, I'd have to work at it. It isn't like the parent has to know every single thing. I mean, in the instance that we have in the curriculum, we want people to be helped on the Internet. That's what's so great about
That's
the Internet. And there'll be lectures on the Internet, and there'll be communication among the students on the Internet. There'll be self-taught at their own pace with parental help. There's more guidance in the first 6 years, you know, because they're not, they need more guidance. But later on, you've had the experience, and obviously you allowed your kids to make a little bit of decision on their own.
Yeah.
You know,
they go
they
at
like
their
this,
own pace.
This instead of, everybody does this and march them in and sit down, and some people describe it as prison. I thought, holy man, you know, that's pretty much true. Walk in and sit in this chair and don't move.
Right. And go at everybody else's pace and learn at the average way. When we're boxing everybody in. Let me show something, and this is one of the reasons why. I saw this interview with you on MSNBC, and I immediately, before the interview was over, I said, book Ron Paul for two reasons. One, because I want to talk to you about homeschooling. But two, how do you conquer this? Look at what they did to you on MSNBC.
We've been taught that the Federal Reserve is sacred, except for the last 5 years, people are questioning the Federal Reserve. We have been taught that deficits are good and spending is good and borrowing is no
problem.
What's
the correlation?
But we have to reverse that. And we have to.
What's the correlation between homeschooling and getting a better understanding of the Fed? I mean, that's
well, the whole
a
thing
wide
is,
gap
this is
for me.
My whole curriculum and everything I talk about is based on the freedom philosophy, which is what I've been talking about for 30 years.
If you want to get to 20% of children being homeschooled, that's going to mean a vast drop in the number of women in the workforce, because it is largely women who are doing the homeschooling. A lot of women can't afford to give up their jobs and homeschool their children. A lot of families can't afford that. And do we actually want to be encouraging women not to take part in the workforce, because we know how valuable that diversity is?
That is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
Like, somehow I'm anti-woman.
Yeah, you're anti-women, and somehow or another, that a woman's job is more important than her children, or a man's job is more important than their children's education. That's that one. Yeah, I was flabbergasted.
That was her assumption, but she didn't even leave any wiggle room for just saying, well, maybe you can work this out. You know, maybe you can do part-time.
Right.
Maybe you can get somebody to help you.
What I shouted was, he was talking about 25%. You were asking for 25%.
Right.
Not 100%. 25%. There's not 25% of American women that would say, you know what, for the preservation of freedom, for the best chance for my children to even survive, forget about the country, for my best chance of my children to survive, I'm going to take this on. I think that's important. No? But
don't interfere with my career. Huh?
Oh, my gosh. Because people are really pretty, they're not stupid. They're living in self-imposed ignorance, and I did it for most of my life. You can find the answers, but if you don't start to look for the answers, if you don't start reading history, if you don't start educating yourself and your family, you become a slave. And that's what the system is churning out now, a bunch of people who are willing just to go, well, yeah, I'm going to follow him because he told me to.
But there's competition today.
Yes, there is.
And you're part of it.
Okay.
Self-imposed ignorance, and it does. I mean, life takes energy. When God blesses us, he blesses the work of our hands. I mean, life is not just given to us. If you have to work for it, that's not a curse. That's not a negative thing. I mean, so many people have been convinced it's just supposed to be given to you. And when you think about your children, and, you know, if you think, he said 20%, not 25, but he's believing that 25%, it could save the future of our country and our freedom. Isn't it worth your child having freedom to consider that? And 80% who don't want to give up their careers.
They
and
don't have to.
They're, you know, we're the richest people in the world, by the way. Our poorest person is richer than 70% of the world's population. But even so, 80% can use it as the child care system, you know, if it's going to do that. And every school system is not like that. They're all totally different. And I know that we have a superintendent in our area that is an amazing man that's doing a great job. And I could just feel the burden, though, that's being put on him because of all these regulations that are coming down. I mean, to me, it just seems like he's having to fight this constant battle instead of caring about the kids.
Right.
That's coming. But you know, think about that. Begin to ponder this. And we want to partner with you, those who are just in public education and also those that are in, you know, homeschool type education. And we're going to do that through the Mountain Meetings for Education. So make sure you contact us and let us know you want to be a part of that. And one way that does that, we have interns working at the VFN television studios who are homeschoolers. They're actually are able to learn the television trade. They're able to, you know, learn discipleship and all those things that happen in the context of living your life, business, journalism, public relations. It's amazing what they're able to do. So we want to partner with you. There are some opportunities, possibly, maybe, even for you or one of your sons or daughters to participate in that. But contact us at VFNTV.com and let us know, or call us at 844-40-VFNTV. But we're going to have more of this interview when we get back from the break. Join us.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I command blind eyes to see.
About 5 years ago, I got shot.
Ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
The doctor said that you had a torn rotator cuff. So show me what you couldn't do 5 minutes ago.
And can you move your arm now?
Oh my. Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all.
Okay, go now. Okay, now move around. Tell me how you feel. Muscle, tendons, ligaments, and bones be reattached now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now move it around.
Welcome back. The School Revolution by Ron Paul. Being interviewed by Glenn Beck here. I want to encourage you. If you're thinking like, oh, you know, I just keep sending my kids to school and they come home and they contradict everything that we stand for. But yet at the same time, I'm telling my children, you know, you need to listen to your school system. Mm-hmm. And the school system says up and you raise them to say down. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget this. And we're going to go to this other interview on his book. Is I came home. I came home one day. You know, we were homeschooling our kids at that time. And we had a young boy who was in school with them, this kind of a same age, not the same school. Obviously, we're homeschooling them. And I walked into my house from work, and they were building on my dining room table.
Oh, yeah.
Get this. Listen, they were building an altar to Zeus.
Wow.
I'm like, what the heck are you doing in my house? You know, and the young boy says, well, this is the assignment they gave us from the public school system. I'm like, get that out of my house, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, why would they do that? And so I called the school board up, and this is years back. I called the school board up and I said, listen, you know, you shouldn't be having our children build altars to gods.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And they said, well, you know, it's just Greek mythology. It's like, it's an altar to Zeus on my dining room table. And I'm like, oh, you know, this is what's really happening. And all you got to do, ask Adam and Eve, is just buy into the question, did God really say?
That's it.
And that's the beginning of your fall, even the fall of a nation. So raising our leaders up, beginning to think 20% of the American children population being raised up. Not all of them. I mean, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But 20% inside of homeschooling, where you're speaking in their life. And what we want to do is work with you and even the public education, too. We want everybody working together because we all are in the same country together in the education mountain. So when you hear us have those education mountain meetings, there's a limited space, but come, because we're going to have a way to pour into you and to encourage you, plus the network, to be able to encourage across the nation people that are moving in the same area.
There's a track record of this already happening successfully. I mean, Tim Tebow was just one example of many where he was, you know, homeschooled for many years, and he worked and his family with the school systems to play sports and get a wonderful education at home. And now he's leading the nation with his character and different things that he's doing.
But they come out, you're actually more social. You actually have less.
Sure.
You have issues. Everybody's got issues. But you have your ability to function, to get a job, to do the basic things in life. Do really well. They're the ones that walk up, as Ron Paul actually probably will say here, to look a elected leader in the eye and just start talking to them. Mm-hmm. They able to look a person in the eye and do business with them. Matter of fact, let's join now. This is the continued interview.
Nobody knows how our government works. Nobody knows the Constitution. You ask people who, you know, name the two houses of government, name the three branches of government, they can't do it. If we let one more generation go, if this generation, my generation has kids now, if we let this generation go without really instilling these values, will we get freedom back?
No, we won't, but I see progress being made. A lot of people worry about how are we ever going to get the masses, 51%, all of a sudden to agree with what we want. And I don't work under that assumption. It's just the the people who are in leadership positions, the people who teach, the people who write, the people who get involved in philosophy, and that's where we're making progress. I mean, we talk about homeschooling and the importance of it. I remember I was out of Congress for 12 years. I went back in 96 after having gone back to my medical practice, and I remember going in the middle of the week to having a little meeting with local community people, and some kids would show up. I'm like, what are these kids doing here? And here, obviously, it didn't take me long to figure out, well, the parents with their homeschooling kids. And I thought, well, you know, these homeschool kids, they're going to be social misfits.
Yeah.
And they turned out to be so sophisticated, stand on their feet and ask good questions, nothing like what you see in the public school system. And the people I'm running into now that are energized on these issues and concerned about the future at the college level, I'm seeing the same kind. But it's not everybody. It's the people who are thinking about it. So I'm very encouraged about what's happening outside of Washington. I'm very encouraged what's happening on the internet. People are getting new information.
The internet should put school out of business. I mean, do you know David Glertner from Yale?
Who?
David Glertner, professor at Yale.
I just know his name.
Okay, yeah, he's brilliant. And he's on the same page that we can revolutionize everything. You know, he said to me, Glenn, who's the best teacher on D-Day? Who's the biggest expert on D-Day? And I said, I don't know. He said, neither do I. But the internet could find him, and the free market would sort it out. He said it might be a cab driver in San Diego, and he knows D-Day inside and out because that's his passion.
Yeah.
And he said, if you find them, you can find them by putting out a blanket and just searching, and then the best, most passionate teachers will just all bubble to the surface, through the internet.
And I've seen such a transition because I was in high school and college in the 50s. I got fascinated in college and medical school with doing things other than just medicine. I was very curious. This didn't all add up right. But then I went searching, and I'd find a book here and a book there, came across Bastiat and Mises and Hayek and Road to Serfdom, which I know you're familiar with. And that led one thing to another, led me to the Foundation for Economic Education. It took me a long time. It took me a while. There was no Amazon, and there was no internet.
Right.
And you go to a bookstore, and they go, yeah, we might be able to order this for you. But the Fee Foundation was able to get me the books, and I'd visit there. Now, it's the click.
I know.
One click and you can, one click purchase.
I know.
You can get the book. Libertarians at one time predicted, the internet will do away with books, but instead it just made it bigger.
Right.
You get information on the internet.
Right.
And you don't have to buy a book. Matter of fact, our plan here is to not require people to buy books, for the homeschooling. But now, I've ended up buying more books.
Oh, I bought double the amount of books.
Yeah. So, because I like books.
Yeah.
I like books. Some people can handle the internet and just read from a computer, but I like the books and I like to mark it up. It looks like
too.
This is much better. But it is so available, and I know some of the college kids deserve a bun wrap and they get it, but I tell you what, there's a nice nucleus of people there that are really, really clean-cut, healthy kids.
I think the universities are teeming with people who know they've been sold a pack of lies, who know they're being ripped off because they're not really getting an education, who know that the trophy that they won all the way through school for merit wasn't for merit at all. They know that's all. They know that they don't know, and they know that they're being ripped off and not being prepared for the future. I think there's tremendous potential there because they're smart. They're smart enough to know what they don't know. Does that make sense?
Yep.
They're very smart. Mm. But can you imagine when it's dawning on you, John. It's like, I just borrowed $15,000.
Did you say 15?
Yes.
$50,000.
Imagine this. It's dawning on them. I borrowed $50,000 for a loan that will stay with me forever.
Forever.
And it's like, you think about this. I love this, that, somebody says, hey, I got a house. I want to sell you this house. It's a lovely house. It's $125,000. And before I show it to you, before I tell you where it is, you got to pay the money first.
Right.
And that's the way the education system's set up. They sell you a potential future job that you don't know presently exists. They're telling you you can earn a specific amount of income that you don't even know. You don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
The strange thing is, many people are going like, well, I want that house.
Yeah.
I want that house, a couple grants, a couple loans. And you walk out, and there's people right now that are saying, I know that Steve and I were on the University of West Florida campus, Steve Kalaszewski, and we're talking to people, and they were so fearful. I think this was like 50% or higher or lower, probably higher, that there's no jobs available for them coming out of college. And so they're actually getting more – they're staying in college longer.
Oh, yeah.
They're borrowing more money.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, what are we doing? Imagine this. Imagine if – your whole education was based off your future, and that you can begin to fit in your future the first thing you read, the first thing you do. So by the time you're walking in your destiny, you know it like the back of your hand. Instead of walking out of an institution just blinded around people that the people that are running that company pretty much walked it the other way. And they're going to say, well, you know, get in the mailroom and maybe, you know, one day, you know, we'll work this thing out. You're thinking, like, I got a $125,000 bill.
Mailroom.
I need a
mailroom.
That's the one. I need this kind of pay, you know.
Yeah.
And so we want to partner with you, and those are our audience, you know, and we're going to make it available. Obviously, everybody can't come all the way to the studios from around the nation. But one thing that can happen, we make it available for our VFN Kingdom partners. You go to VFNTV.com, click on partner, and for VFN Kingdom partners, that's a different level of partnership because we have all these wonderful things available. Oh, yeah. We're seeing businesses fail right now, that your business does not have to fail. You need wisdom. And wisdom, God can give you wisdom in your business. I'm just one word of knowledge. He's into you. And so we want to encourage you in these different areas. Right now we're talking about the education mountain. You know, sign up, register, let us know, stay in contact with us, because when we put those meetings out, you want to send a representative, maybe from your network of homeschoolers, for example.
Absolutely.
Or maybe a teacher from your public school system. Mm-hmm. and begin to think, you know what, you know, we got to begin to train up tomorrow's leaders today. If we want healthy men, and that's what people are looking for, right? Healthy men, healthy women, right? You first have to have healthy sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to speak into their life today. An unhealthy son and daughter is not going to grow into a healthy father or mother.
That's right.
You know, they're just going to be the same person they were. But if we begin to pour into their lives now, and we've did that for many years, but we just want to pray right now and just say, you know what, we're going to ask God to touch us again in the area of what the responsibility for freedom. He said we're one generation away from losing our freedom. What do we need to do? We need to get back to the basics and say, you know what, I want to teach my children the basics about God and this country.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we just thank you that you're opening our eyes. Lord, we pray that you would just help us learn. Give us a grace, Lord, to be able to say that our children matter, and that if they're open to it, Lord, and it works, that you'll give us a grace to be able to begin to help our public school teachers and working with them to educate our children, or if we're called to be able to homeschool our children, Lord God, that we would see that as a high thing and not as a low thing. And this network of teachers and students around the nation, God, that you would gather. Lord, we pray that you would redeem our education system in America, God. That you would redeem it. Help us to wake up before we lose it, Father God. That we would not lose the freedom, Father God, but we would say, you know what, I'm willing to educate even 20% of our children in this way so they could be the leaders in the future. Father God, we just pray for this. We pray for a revival in our school system, God. We pray, Father God, for a great awakening in this nation, Lord God. But we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.